Welcome to the Easter edition of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. This was first broadcast on Sunday, April the 20th, 2025, and we bring you the latest from the world of amateur radio in VK7. This week, joining you from the Tasmanian Amateur Radio News Desk is Justin, VK7 Tango Whiskey. Tune in as we share updates and insights across VK7, broadcast through an array of platforms and frequencies. On DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91 Charlie, which is managed by the Digital Group. On the medium and high frequency rebroadcast, thanks to our following dedicated operators. 1.862 by Any Takers, 3.670 by Ross VK7ALH, 7140 by Gary VK7JGD, 14130 by Any Takers, 28525 by Dale VK7 Delta Golf, and on UHF CB Channel 24 in the Hobart area by Mark VK7FMAC. And if you missed today's broadcast, then you can catch up on a replay on Tuesday nights from 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in northern Tasmania and VK7RHT and UHF CB 24 in southern VK7. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the broadcast. And we start with WIA News. A massive thank you. This week, we're sending out a huge shout-out and a heartfelt thank you to the 339 Australian radio amateurs who stepped up and completed the ACMA Class Licence Performance Survey. That's right, 339 voices strong. This is an outstanding result, and it gives the WIA solid grassroots evidence to take to the ACMA as we continue to work together to improve and evolve the amateur radio service in Australia. Whether your experience was smooth sailing or a bit of static storm, your feedback matters, and it's going to make a difference. So thank you one and all for having a say and for being a part of the ongoing evolution of amateur radio in Australia. And that's 73 from the WIA board, and well done, team. VK7 News. Where is it now? Does anyone know the whereabouts of the IRE trophy? The trophy was on display at the Radio and Electronics Exhibition held in Launceston during June 1939. A report of the exhibition in Amateur Radio, October 1, 1939, describes the display as centred around an amateur radio station in operation. VK7AB was the station used under the callsign VK7 Whiskey India. The transmitter consisted of an EL5 Tritet crystal oscillator capacitively coupled to a 807 and link coupled to an EMAC 35T running at an input of 50 watts and modulated by a pair of Osram PX25S in class AB push pull. The receiver was a normal 10 tube super and the antenna was a full wave 40 meter ZEP. Included in the display was a wooden plaque. It was a trophy presented by the IRE, or the Institute of Radio Engineers of Australia, now part of Engineers Australia, or was it by the IRE, which is now part of the IEEE? It would be interesting to know which. Where is this trophy now? To whom was it awarded and for what? If the item can be located and you know anything about it, can you please let me know on email, and that's luther8, or one word, at bigpond.com. I have a poor photograph that accompanied the article in AR, but that is all. I would like to have a better photograph and any other details that are available. It will be added to the history that was compiled in 2023 to celebrate the centenary of the WIA in Tasmania. And that's 73 from Linda, VK7QP. And QSL News, the VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau News. The current list of QSL cards held by the VK7 Inwards Bureau as at the 11th of April is in the email edition of the broadcast. And that's 73 from Herman, VK7 Hotel Whiskey, the WIA VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau Manager. And WWFF, SOTA, POTA and IOTA Weekly Wrap-Up. Emu Ground Regional Reserve, situated near Piper's Brook in northern Tasmania, was activated for the first time by Rodney, VK7HAM, Al, VK7AN and Peter, VK7ZPE. They operated using an Alinco DX70 with an N-fed half-wave antenna strung up in a tree and a Rodney's Pajero. Jim VK7JZ, Harry VK7HXT and Xavier VK7XHJ made the trek to Collins Cap SOTA Summit. After a 3-kilometre hike with 540 metres of elevation gain, they successfully activated the summit by logging 6 contacts on 2 metres, and a special shout-out to Xavier, who tackled the hike without a single complaint, though he did have a few moments of expressing his feelings along the way. Paul VK7PJM received a VKFF Hunter Roll Award for hunting 525 different VKFF areas. On Anzac Day, many operators will switch to using the special AX call sign while activating parks and summits. Australian amateurs are permitted to use the AX call sign in place of VK on 3 occasions each year. They are Anzac Day, Australia Day, and World Telecommunications Day. The AX prefix is especially popular amongst prefix hunters. As promised, we have a winner of the Quangsheng UVK5. Congratulations to Phil VK7ID, who earned the top spot by activating an impressive 41 references during the period. This included SOTA, POTA, Worldwide Flora and Fauna references. Well done, Phil. And don't worry, hunters, there will be some more goodies up for grabs for you a bit later in the year. 73 from Matt, VK7MAT. Statewide SSTV nights and a busy net night that saw the following participants: VK7's KT, AX, ZAB, OO, EV, ZCF and TW, all sharing nearly 50 photos, and the main themes were received and decoded SSTV photos from the ISS during the period the 11th to the 16th of April. These photos were from the ARIS Series 26 called Humans in Space. Chainsaw carvings at Georgetown that depict significant people and events, like the laying of the telegraph cable to link Tasmania to the Northern Ireland. Other highlights were an original analog-type slow-scan TV that used a long-persistent CRT for the picture display built by VK7JAI. A top-loaded vertical MF antenna in detail with a V&A plot Smith chart. A diagram of a ham radio operator's brain showing the different regions. In the USA, ham radio operators make up 0.2% of the population, still better than Australia's 0.06%. And hot street cars, a photo of paradise in Tasmania, and Google out and spying on us. Again, Tony VK7AX interconnected VK7RJG with his SSTV International Gateway, and VK7 conducted QSOs with PA3ADE and PC1K in the Netherlands. Tony will connect again next week at 7:30 p.m. Remember, in your software to enable FSKID for TX and RX, so your call sign is automatically recognised in MMSSTV or your relevant SSTV software. Note, Ken VK7KRJ and Steve VK7OO's fully automatic 24/7 monitoring sites, allowing anyone who has sent an SSTV picture the ability to check them on their pages almost immediately. Anytime, both South and North Tasmania. If you missed the net, there are archives of these SSTV nights, and these photos can be seen on Ken and Steve's SSTV website or on the NTARC website under blogs. Please remember to use your own photos or those that are copyright free. 73 from Andre VK7ZAB. And news from the North. The SOTA Worldwide Flora and Fauna Parks Group, Summits on the Air and Worldwide Flora and Fauna Parks Group meets twice weekly, Mondays and Fridays, 10:30 until 12, at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston, and for more information, contact Al on 0417 354 410, and that's 73 from Al, VK7 Alpha Nancy. And you are listening to VK7 A Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club Incorporated, and last Wednesday, Clubroom's technical night saw the arrival of Colin, VK7ZCF, with a rather nice-looking canvas backpack. Once he'd put it down and begun to open it up, it was obvious it was not a normal hiking backpack, with one big central bag at the core. It actually had the feel of a tool roll, the type where all the tools have individual compartments and they're all rolled up for storage and transportation. In the centre of the backpack frame, suspension and padding, Colin had mounted an aluminium panel, and this panel was uncovered when the vertical component wings either side were unrolled. Some of these decent-sized top-to-bottom compartments were suitable for rods to make up antennas and mast sections as desired. Colin even had a collapsible tripod in one. There were plenty of other compartments for fittings, coaxial cables, rolled-up antenna wire and guy ropes. The aluminium backing plate had an electronic equipment mounted on it, most notably an ICOM IC7000, a recently constructed automatic antenna matching kit, the AT100, and an 18-amp-hour lithium deep-cycle battery. From the NTARC website pictures, you may notice a space next to the battery. This is waiting for a fuse distribution module, which will allow Colin to complete the wiring. Colin had even mounted a 3D-printed mounting side cheeks for the IC7000, as well as mounting brackets to secure the antenna matching plus battery locators and holding straps. All fastenings onto the aluminium back panel are provided by Nutserts, a panel riveted device that provide an internal thread for screwing a bolt into. Although not a waterproof setup, it can be set up to be covered with a waterproof backpack over cover to keep the dust and water out. For interest, the ICOM IC7000 is a circa 2010 and is an all-band, all-mode transceiver capable of 100 watts at 160 metres to 35 watts at 70 centimetres. All this is in a package weighing 2.3 kilograms. Colin estimated an all-up weight, of the, including the backpack, to be 11 kilos. Now remember that 11-kilo figure for the moment. Ross, VK7ALH, happened to have with him a Kenwood TS700SP, a 2-metre band all-mode 10-watt transceiver from circa 1980. The only major difference is modern equipment now tend to have quite large displays, whereas this unit only had a physical meter and digital readout. All boards are modular but not plug-in. Therefore, it is point-to-point wired, and that's a lot of cabling. If it was a car, it would be considered a modern classic. Not a bad description, really. To put things into perspective, this rig by itself weighs in at 11 kilos, similar to Colin's entire backpack, including radio, antennas and battery. The fine example of the progress in miniaturisation and plastics within modern rigs. Peter VK7SP and Andre VK7ZAB brought along and displayed on the main TV some of the SSTV pictures that they had decoded from the International Space Station, or ISS for short. After hearing about the six-day Aris Humans in Space event in the WIA National News on Sunday morning, they decided to have a go at receiving these pictures. Peter used an ICOM 705, IC705 and his V dipole antenna at ground level that he normally uses for receiving weather satellite images. Andre had a roof-mounted VHF-UHF vertical normally set up to receive the local repeaters, but the antennas gave similar results when used for the ISS, taking into account the different locations. Peter also had his laptop and SDR dongle so he could demonstrate the G-Predict and SDR software. Once ISS had been selected, the G-Predict, it showed our next visible pass of the space station. From this, it generated a polar plot of each path with elevation versus time and direction. It also calculated the Doppler correction required. Looking at the SDR software, you could see the receive frequency as the satellite tracked across the sky. To put the knowledge to practical use, members included two potential amateurs headed outside to the car park at the calculated time to hopefully see the ISS and also listen to the SSTV signal on a handheld. Luckily, it was a clear night, and around the predicted time, the familiar SSTV sound could be heard. Shortly after, the actual ISS could be spotted on its trajectory across the sky. Once back inside, a SSTV image of Yuri Gagarin anniversary celebrations were displayed. Thanks, Peter and Andre. It was wonderful to be able to successfully demonstrate the combination of some excellent software and real-world results. After the G-Predict and ISS demonstration, there was an impromptu information session from Ross and Colin in their capacity of low and high voltage practitioners, mainly centred around the industrial installation faults and also focusing on safety. They covered and stressed the need for correct circuit isolation before the commencement of any testing or measurement, outlining the pitfalls of assumed correct isolation in the presence of high circuit induction or even misinterpretation of test results. This was an enthralling second session to the evening. Safety procedures, common sense and experience certainly plays a major part. Hopefully we can talk Ross and Colin into part two of this discussion. As always, pictures will be available on the NTARC website under blogs for this broadcast. Up-and-coming events, Testnet and TechNet sessions. Every Wednesday, TechNet CW's course on 3.58 MHz from 7:30 p.m. and the TechNet on 3.567 MHz from 7:30 to 8:30. Your host for the evening is Nick, VK7, a Whiskey Whiskey. And Club Room's Technical Night Session. The next session will be on Wednesday the 30th of April at the usual time of 6:30 p.m. at the Club Room's Archer Street, Rochalie. Coffee mornings. Please note that the Anzac Day public holiday, there will be no coffee morning on Friday the 25th of April. Finally, a reminder to all members that if you have any items of news that you would like added to the weekly roundup, no matter how trivial, then please email them to the secretary at the following address, news@ntarc.net, all items to be received no later than 5 p.m. on the Friday prior to the broadcast. That's all, folks. 73 from Stefan, VK7, ZSB, the secretary of NTARC Inc. And we move south. News from the South, Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania. And Rewind and Future Birthday. Well, the 23-centimetre Hobart Area QSO Party. And some start with some history. A number of Hobart stations have been testing out rigs and antennas on 23 centimetres. Just under 10 years ago, in discussions at a Reist barbecue, it was decided that we should encourage this activity in some way. The suggestion was that we run a 23-centimetre QSO party straight after the broadcast each Sunday morning to see how that works and explore how well the various stations can communicate and encourage the improvement of antennas and systems. On Sunday, the 6th of December 2015, Murray VK7ZMS operated on from Mount Wellington and was the initial control station for the QSO party. He was on FM on 1294 MHz, and in general, people operated with horizontal polarisation. There was a wrap-up of how all this worked at the DATV night on the 9th of December 2015. And more activity was planned on 23 centimetres. One option was that we could run a net by all beaming at Mount Wellington and continue each Sunday after the broadcast, so those with 23 centimetre gear dusted it off and joined in. A report on the inaugural 23 centimetre QSO party indicated that the following stations were involved: VK7's ZMS, MO, BEN, KAJ, ZL, OO, and an unexpected visitor from the north, VK7JG, were operational on both transmit and receive, and VK7's TW and HRS were receive only at that stage. The report of activity the next week included another good roll-up with 9 stations participating and 1 new station in Danny VK7HDM. Unfortunately, our control station, Murray VK7ZMS, could not make it. He had forgotten that he'd given priority to his daughter's birthday. Today, we have well over 50 23-centimetre operators in the south of the state and many more in the north and northwest. So, on the 6th of December 2025, it will be the 10th birthday of the 23-centimetre QSO party. So, to be on a Sunday, it will have to be the 7th of December 2025. Mark it in your diaries. 73 from Rex, VK7, Mike Oscar. Reist ADX build update. This Wednesday night, the 23rd of April, is our final build night, and we encourage builders in the meantime to continue their build and winding at home. We will have a test bench or two set up to do the final testing and calibration, and there will be usually someone there from around 6 p.m. from yours truly, Justin, VK7TW. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Service. And April presentation night, the fire detection technology and much more. And a huge thank you to Rob Vernon from Indicium Dynamics, who came along and gave us a presentation last Wednesday night on the many interesting projects that the company is getting up to with the use of IoT, LoRaWAN, Meshtastic and high-definition steerable cameras that all feed data into huge data hubs that can then be analysed and used to provide intelligence on a huge range of environmental factors for a huge range of use cases. Rob went into the short introduction on Indicium Dynamics, which is a solutions and integration business who are and have come up with solutions for many customers, including the Hobart City Council, Parks Shire Council, Forestry Tasmania, UTAS, and a very interesting one on Lord Howe Island. Rob showed their extensive LoRaWAN 915 MHz coverage in Tasmania, and then went into the major product called Fire Foresight, which is an integrated and enhanced AI-enabled bushfire detection system. This system was real-time situationally aware, and Rob showed some examples from Tower Hill and Mount Horror. Indicium is the only Southern Hemisphere company still in the running for the XPRIZE Wildfire Challenge. The next example was a lightning strike fire, which demonstrated the advantages of using the technology to know when to deploy resources to actually fight the fire. We finished with a short Q&A session, and this presentation is available on the Reist YouTube streaming channel and is well worth a look. May presentation night is the Tasmanian Trail on an electric unicycle. A huge thank you to Alan, VK7KAN, who's agreed to give us a presentation on his recent expedition from the top to the bottom of Tasmania on an electric unicycle. Alan is currently, well, actually, Alan's probably finished the trip with his brother, who is riding an electric mountain bike. And for those who don't know, the Tasmanian Trail is a 480-kilometre multi-use trail that goes from Devonport to Dover. Many of you met Alan at the ABC studio, as he is one of the technical services team and is taking a well-earned rest and seeing Tasmania up close and personal. When Wednesday the 7th of May from 7:30 p.m. in the Queen's Domain Club Rooms and streamed, and this will be a great presentation. 73 from the Reist Committee. And Reist Forum Night Antenna Confessions Edition. Wednesday the 14th of May from 7:30 p.m. in the Queen's Domain Club Rooms. And hey, antenna wranglers and feedline fanatics, it's time to get real about what's swinging in your backyard. This May Forum Night is your chance to tell all about the antenna of your choice, whether it's big, small, stealthy, floppy, or held together with hope and cable ties. What we want, your favourite antenna, or the one you can tolerate. The good, the DX Glory, the bad, the SWR horror stories, and the downright ugly, we've seen things. Dipoles, verticals, loops, yagis, fractals, coat hangers, no judgment, just good stories, laughs, and maybe some inspiration or sympathy. Bring your tails, your pitches, your bent aluminium, and let's share what's working or not at your QTH. No PowerPoint perfection needed, just you and your antenna antics. Come for the stories, stay for the laughter, and leave with new ideas, or at least some validation. See you there, 73, from the Reist Committee. Satellite news. The Open GD77 handheld radio firmware adds FM satellite operation. An article in the ARRL QST magazine of April 2025 provides an overview of an available open source firmware for handheld radios. And according to the article, the free firmware can provide some models of analog FM and DMR capable radios with satellite capability, including screens showing polar view graphics, satellite individual predictions, and satellite alarm, and the ability to upload KEP data into the radio. Doppler tuning for acquisition of and loss of signal information were mentioned in the QST article. The GD77 firmware can also include a number of enhancements, including easier DMR-related functions. Recent discussions on OpenGD77 was heard on the CSRA multimode TechNet from several satisfied users. Information about the net is available on their Facebook group page, and the firmware is now available for use in some models of Radio Oddity, Baofeng and TYT model radios, and have been successfully used on an Anytone 878 UV2 Plus handheld. A GD77 user guide is available, and the forum is on the email edition of the broadcast. Thanks to QST and author David Vine, W1AEAW, for the above information via the AMSAT News Service. And regular VK7 gatherings and events over the coming months. We've got regular gatherings, Sewing Circle Net Daily, 3.640 MHz, commences at 6:30 p.m. AEST. Statewide SSTV net every Thursday night via the North-South link, VK7RAFRJG. Statewide microwave QSO party following the Sunday broadcast on 1296.15 MHz FM, one in the Greater Hobart area and another in the Greater Launceston area, and then North-South digital contacts on 1296.2 using Q6560B stations in the Launceston area, transmitting on the odd minute and southern stations on the even minute. And Reist Wags, the Wednesday afternoon group from 12 noon in the Reist Clubrooms, Queen's Domain. And the Reist Wags, the Wednesday Experimenters group on the 3rd, 4th and 5th Wednesday nights of the month from around 6 p.m. in the Queen's Domain Clubrooms. And streamed, and the Reist of 6 metre AM net on 53.1 MHz every day from 4:30 p.m. SOTA WWFF group meetings Mondays and Fridays 10:30 until 12 midday at Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston, and the TestNet and TechNet sessions every Wednesday. TestNet CW course on 3.58 MHz from 7 p.m, then a TechNet on 3.567 MHz from 7:30 to 8:30, and your host is Nick VK7 a Whiskey Whiskey. And the Clubroom Technical Night Sessions, the next session will be on Wednesday the 30th of April at the usual time of 6:30 p.m. at the Clubroom's Archer Street, Rochelie. Clubroom, Northwest VK7, Wednesday 8 p.m. local. The Northwest Tassie Amateur Repeater Group net on 2 metres VK7 RMD and All-Star Node 56780. Northwest VK7, Thursday commencing at 8:30 p.m. local. The Northwest Tassie 2-metre DXNet on 144.190 USB. Events Reist May the 7th Electric Unicycle on the Tasmanian Trail with Alan VK7KAN from 7:30 p.m. Queen's Domain Clubrooms and streaming. And the Reist May the 14th is the May Forum Night. Antenna Confessions at Queen's Domain Clubroom from 7:30 p.m. and streamed. And a reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast, it's Newsreader VK7FRN. The repeaters, Reist, NTARC, and in the Northwest, thanks to NWTARC, WCRG, NWCRRA, VK7AX, VK7JH, and VK7DC. 160 metres, any takers, 80 metres, VK7DG, 40 metres, 7ALH, 20 metres, 7JGD, 10 metres, VK7VKT, UHF-CB24, VK7FMAC, and DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91C by the Digital Group. A huge thank you to all people and organisations that assisted with this broadcast. That wraps up this week's edition of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable, and you have been listening to VK7 Whiskey India. And if you've just tuned in, you've just missed our live broadcast, but don't worry. If it's not Tuesday night, then you can catch the rebroadcast on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in Northern VK7 and VK7RHT and UHF-CB24 in the South. We encourage you to share your news stories and updates with us. Email your contributions to VK7ARNews, all one word, at gmail.com. For more information about the broadcast and to join the discussion, visit the VK7 Amateur Radio News Groups.io group. And remember, the deadline for submissions is 2100 on Friday before the Sunday broadcast. Stay tuned for callbacks on the frequency you're currently listening to. Relay stations will use their own call signs during the time. And on behalf of the entire VK7 Amateur Radio News team, this is Justin VK7 at Tangled Whiskers, wishing you 73, happy Easter and good DX to all.